know, sometimes you just need to sit in his presence, don't you? Just take a moment and just be still and know that I am God is what the Bible says. Life can be so fast-paced that sometimes you just got to take your foot off the gas and just be still and know that he is God. So let's just pray. We're just going to open God's word. Lord, as we dive into your word tonight, we pray you'll speak to our hearts. God, just really just give us, Lord God, just an understanding of what you're saying. God, let it just kind of do whatever it needs to do in our hearts and our lives tonight. Jesus, just help me to handle your word. Lord God, to honor you as I do that. And God, speak to each one of our hearts. God, you've probably got different stuff you want to say to us. And it might be one thing for one and one thing for another. But Lord, we just want to hear your voice tonight. So please just speak to each one of us where we're at, what it means for us, God. Just thank you. There's something here for us tonight to take away, God. And we want to take it away in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Okay. So Matthew chapter 6, we're moving through a series that we're doing on Sunday evenings on the Lord's Prayer. And been looking at how Jesus gave us this prayer as a model. If you've heard me say this, forgive me, but just to re-emphasize that it's a model, it's a form of words, it's a framework to guide our prayer lives rather than something that we necessarily just quote word for word. There's, of course, there's no harm in doing that, but the power of it is more than just reciting it or repeating it word for word. But it was a model that Jesus gave us that one of the requests from Luke 11, when one of the disciples heard him praying, it was, Lord, help me. Lord, teach us how to pray. Help us to communicate with God like you communicate with God. And last week, I was just talking about how that penny had dropped of seeing the incredible things that Jesus was doing, the signs, wonders, miracles, the words of wisdom that he spoke with, the way he confounded people, religious leaders of the day, and handled issues. And the penny was dropping. The disciple was seeing the link was between the way in which he communicated with the Father in prayer and what was happening in and through his life. And so we often associate this with public praying, you know. But actually, as I've said to you before, God gave us this for our actual, our private, our personal, our devotional lives, that time when we spend our time on our own with Father God. And so actually it's a model and guide for not just for public, of course we can pray in public, but actually for something that we're meant to use at home when we're on our own. And so Matthew 6 verse 5 to 13 just endorses that and teaches that. It says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. There it is. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. In other words, you don't have to just go on and on and on. It's not about how eloquent we can be. We don't have to worry or stress about that. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I love that. So pray then like this. This is the model. Our Father in heaven, come and read it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Of course, there's in the New King James Version, we'll come on to in a moment. It doesn't bring it there in the ESV, but it does in the New King James. We'll come on to that in a moment. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So the last few weeks, what we've learned really is how the whole thing starts by focusing on Father God, our Father in heaven. And so when we're coming to spend some time with him, it's first about getting our focus right. It's about beginning well. And as we come to spend that time with him, we get our eyes on him. And so it's our Father in heaven. He's our dad. That first and foremost, what we're doing is spending quality time with our Heavenly Father, our perfect dad who loves us, wants the best for us. Hallowed be your name. We were learning about that. It's about adoring him. And God, you're the best. You're the ultimate. You're special. You're set apart. And then it's your kingdom come, your will be done, which is what we learned last week on earth as it is in heaven. It's about aligning ourselves with the heart of God, what God wants to see come to pass. But then we get to the second half of the prayer, which is where we're at now, and the focus begins to shift from having been focused initially there completely on the Father. We're now moving into shifting our focus towards our needs. So it's now, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you see, here's the secret, if you like, to powerful and effective prayer, the pattern that I believe that Jesus teaches us, which is heavenly things must always come before earthly things. Okay, heavenly things must always come before earthly things. And so the secret, first of all, as I said, is focusing on God, how awesome he is, and aligning ourselves with what's on God's heart, what God wants first. And so in Luke 11, as I said earlier on, as the disciple sees Jesus pray, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to connect and communicate with God like you do. Teach me how to connect and pray in a way that sees things happen, that sees breakthrough, that sees change. And Jesus says, well, it's pretty simple, really, because it is just a simple prayer, just a short, simple, memorable prayer. But the emphasis of what he's teaching us is this: you start in heaven and then you come down to earth. Okay, so you start in heaven and then you come down to earth. Our Father in heaven, and now we're coming right down to earth. We've given us this day our daily bread. And what we'll do is we'll take some of the words that are in that phrase, give us this day our daily bread, and just look at those words and what they mean. And bread, you probably have heard this said before, but bread really represents needs. Our physical, our material, our emotional needs. It's comprehensive, any kind of needs that we have in our life. And so what Jesus actually teaches is that once you have your focus right, once you've begun well, once you've got your perspective right, and your eyes are on God, then you shift your attention to your needs. And this is the beautiful thing, because this is how, even though it's such a small prayer, how comprehensive it is. Because if you think about just these three requests here, just the three that I've highlighted, that Jesus teaches us how to pray. So our daily bread is a prayer for provision, for our needs. And so God is intimately interested in our present, what's going on in our life, what needs we have now. And then forgive us our debts, well, that's about pardon, and that's about our past. It's about the things we've done. And so God's not just only interested in our present, he's interested in helping us with the mistakes and the mess that we've all made and we all make, and the things that we get wrong in our past as well, the things that we've done, perhaps that we shouldn't have done. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's a prayer for protection. I don't want to go down the wrong path. We'll get to that later on in the series. That's a prayer for my future. So in three short things, what Jesus teaches us is that when we come to Father God, we bring our present, our past, and our future before him. Okay, and we pray about that. And so then the beautiful thing is that having got our eyes on him, then we've shifted from heavenly things to earthly things, and then we go from earthly things back to heavenly things in verse 13, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So it's God, then the attention shifts to my need, and then from my need, it's eyes back onto Father God again. So actually, in the Lord's Prayer, there's a beautiful balance that Jesus teaches us. He's teaching us that our focus needs to be right, that we need to begin well, and that our prayer lives need a good balance. And, you know, sometimes actually, if you find that you struggle when you come to pray, or your prayer time feels a bit dry, I think we've all been there, we've all had those times, then actually, a good place that we need to start is just look at our prayer, like, well, are things in balance? Is the focus right when I'm coming to pray? Have I got the balance right? Because actually, if our prayer swings too much just onto ourselves, and we start with ourselves, and all our focus is upon ourselves, then we don't really connect with God like we want to connect with God. And we don't really see the breakthrough that we want to see. And so I think there are two kind of classic mistakes that, hands up, I've made plenty of occasions, that we often make when we come to spend time with God. And I've made these plenty of times, so I'm not digging anyone out. I'm confessing to have made these plenty of times myself. Number one is to rush in with my shopping lists of needs and wants. And I rush in and I almost forget to say, like, hello, Lord. How are you doing today, Dad? Father, you're awesome. You're amazing. I love you. It's like I've got my list of I need this and I need that to happen, and can you sort this for me? That's one mistake that I've made on plenty of occasions, and I dare say perhaps you have too. And the second thing is that another mistake is you can think it's like God is so big, so high, so heavenly, so mighty, so almighty, that he's not really probably all that fussed about your little needs and things that are going on in your life, you know, the small things. Yet actually, he's so interested in every detail of our life that the Bible says he even knows the number of hairs on your head. How many there are there? He's interested in every detail of our life. And Jesus says here, ask for bread. And people have over-spiritualized that, but Jesus was just bringing it like right down to earth. He's getting like right down to earth now. You ask for bread. So you ask for your needs. And some over-spiritualize it, and they try and link it with communion. They try and link it with the Bible. You know, Jesus is just talking about your everyday practical needs. And he encourages us to ask God to supply those needs. And he encourages us that God is interested in every detail of our life. And I love what Jesus teaches here. I think it's a beautiful thing that it's just natural for a child to talk to their dad about this stuff. You know, if you've got needs and you've got things that are going on, you know, that's a natural thing that a child should want to and should be able to talk to their dad about it. If everything's healthy and right, then that is what you would hope would be the case. And so that's really what he's teaching us. And it says there that he knows, the Father knows what you need before you ask him. And so on week one, I said this, that it's not like God needs to be told, but he loves to be asked. So you don't like have to tell him, because he kind of knows. But there's something about, as a dad, he just loves us as his children to just come and ask him, God, can you help me with this? Is this need in my life right now? Can you help me and take care of this? And when we looked at what it means to hallow his name, one of the names was Yahweh or Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. It's part provision. It's part of his character. It's part of his nature. It's who he is. It's what he loves to do. And so this Greek word for bread actually just refers to common, everyday, ordinary bread. Okay, so we don't need to over-spiritualize it. Jesus is getting really down to earth with this and just saying the everyday stuff in your life, practical stuff, Father God's interested in. And he wants to supply that for you. He wants to help in that. So Martin Luther, now he wrote this in 1529, so it's not entirely applicable for us, okay, because it talks in here about a need for cattle. I don't think anyone has any need for cattle, okay, right now. I could be mistaken. If you're a farmer, then just, you know, amen to it as we get there. But it says in 1529, Martin Luther wrote this about give us today our daily bread. What does daily bread mean? It means everything that nourishes our body and meets its needs, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, yard, fields, cattle, money, possessions, a devout spouse, devout children, devout employees, devout and faithful rulers, a good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and other things like these. Right? Martin Luther wrote that. Give us today our daily bread. That kind of everyday stuff, practical stuff. So I've heard it said before this, that Jesus never said, give us this day our daily cake. Okay? He didn't say, give us this day our daily cake. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Okay? And I've also heard it put this way. Jesus said, I'll meet all your needs, but not all your greeds. Okay? So we don't need to kind of get too kind of like, wow, I want a Lamborghini, so do it for me, Lord, kind of thing. But it's our needs, not our greeds. It's our bread, not our cake, that he's promised to supply. And I find it really incredible to think that Almighty God is interested at that level in little old my life and little old your life this morning, that he's really interested. The God who put the stars, flung the stars into space, creates the heavens, creates the earth, and yet he just says, hey, I want to take care of your everyday need. I want to look after you. That's the heart of a good father, isn't it? A good father would want to do that, would want to be able to take care of his children. And as a king, as I said last week, he wants to take care of those who are in his kingdom. A king is personally responsible for those who are in his kingdom. So as father and king, he's interested in all these areas of our life. And so as a father, he wants us to trust him to take care of our needs. You know, as a dad, we're, as parents, sorry, me and Claire, you know, something that we're continually trying to teach our children is that just pray about it. You know, when they've got little things that are going on in life, and you know, some people say, well, that's not that big a deal, but you know, we're into some of them years now with Beth at the age that she's at, and there's interesting things going on in friendship circles at school, and you know, and all that kind of stuff that's going on. I just say you've got to pray about it. Just trying to teach you, you know, God's interested in this, so you've got to pray about it and just bring it before God. And you know, the same with Jake and Amy, you know, whatever is going on, wherever they're at in their phase of life, whatever they need, we just encourage them. You've got to pray about it. God cares. God is interested. You've got to bring it before him. So any little situation or problem. And then you see what you find is this, that as we've seen God undertake, and then they see God answers their prayer, their faith increases. You see, I want us to understand that if we can't ask God for the little things, how will we ever feel able to ask him for the big things? And you know, and I think that the level that God is interested in every area of our life, it's like as we learn to trust him for just little and everyday and practical things, it increases our faith to feel like we're able to ask him for big things. And so God just wants us to come and ask him. Give, it says, give us this day our daily bread. It's a request, give. I'm asking you, God. I'm acknowledging when I'm saying give. I'm saying, I acknowledge, I've come, I recognize you're the source, you're the answer, you're the provision to my need. I recognize that it's God who gives. And so our needs being met isn't a right, it's a gift. And God is the giver. God is the giver, and I'm acknowledging that. And I'm coming before him, and there's something powerful about prayer when we acknowledge that God is the giver and God is the answer and God is the way. And so some people say, yeah, but money can buy. I mean, we don't know what it is to, they did in them days, I'll come on to that in a moment, you know, the need for daily bread. You think, I got money to buy that now. But where did that bread come from? You know, who gave that bread? Who provided that bread? Who made that possible? And it's acknowledging that God, you're the giver, and that God, you have the answer and you have the solution to my situation. It's not just my, but it says our. Give us this day our daily bread. And I was, you know, teaching just recently that what that means is that Jesus never wants us to lose the sense that we're part of a family. That it's not just, God, I need you to meet all my need, but God, I'm part of a family with brothers and sisters in Christ. That I'm praying that you'll meet their need as well. What's going on in their life, the things that I'm aware of that are happening with others around me. I'm not just praying for myself, but I'm praying that, God, you will meet their needs. And so part of that balance is remembering that I'm not just praying for myself. I am bringing my needs for God, but I'm also praying for those who are part of this family. Anyone who can say, Our Father. I'm not praying for the whole world because it's a family prayer. I'm praying at this point in time, of course you can pray for the whole world in other ways, but at this point in time, I'm specifically praying for all those who call him Father, all those who are part of the family, all part of the church as a whole, not just this church here, but the church as a whole. I'm remembering that they have need as well, and I'm bringing them before God. And that God, what God is saying is that often when we come together, that's more prevalent, I think, in our thinking. We come together and we're more aware of people's need. But God's saying, I want you to actually, Jesus is saying, I want you to understand, actually, when you're at home on your own, I want you to be praying for others as well, thinking about them and their needs as well. So it's give us our daily bread. And that word daily is really interesting because for a long time, I researched this. For a long time, scholars couldn't quite nail that one because they didn't really quite know what that word daily actually meant. It only appears twice in the New Testament, here in Matthew chapter 6 and in Luke 11, which is the other occasion of the teaching of the Lord's Prayer. And for a long time, they struggled for exactly what that word meant, okay, to understand exactly what it meant. Now, you might think it's kind of obvious, but actually that word means a lot more than what we think. And so this, from researching it, from what I understand was they found, and you can look into this yourself, they found in Egypt an ancient parchment that had lasted in time, and it transpired to be someone's shopping list. And on this shopping list was the word that we translate daily. And this sentence was written on it that gave them the understanding of what this word daily means. And this sentence effectively it said this: here are the items that I need for the next 24 hours. Enough for the next 24 hours. So there's various lists, but here's the items that I need for the next 24 hours. And so this kind of word here, when we begin to unpack it, we have to dive back a little bit into the times in which Jesus was talking about this. We don't live now in this kind of agricultural setting as they did then, whereby daily bread and fresh, everything was daily, you know, provision was on the daily basis. We go to the supermarket, buy several loaves of bread and chuck them in the freezer, but then they're living on the basis of daily and fresh provision. So there's daily food and there was daily work. So you never had a contract. If you worked in those days, you was never guaranteed that you even had a job tomorrow morning. You would get up, you would go down to the labor exchange, you would stand in the market square or wherever it would be, and you would hope someone would come along who owned a vineyard or a farm or something like that and just said, I'll give you a job for the day. And you'd be paid by the day. And so you'd take that job for the day, you'd go and work, you'd earn money, and then you'd have enough money to buy a meal, and that would be your provision. But you would never know the next day whether there was enough. So you were living on a day-to-day basis. So every day it was, Lord, I need enough just for today. You're living by the day. And so I need enough work just for today. I need enough money just for today. I need enough food just for today, because there was no job security. That's not an easy way to live, is it? I mean, we like security. You know, we like kind of having that in our life, but they were living from day to day. So literally, and this is not me being clever, literally you lived on the breadline. Okay? You literally lived on the breadline. Now, if you don't know whether you've got money coming in and you don't know whether you've got a meal for the next day, how many people know that the culture would have been pretty uneasy at times? Quite fearful and quite worrying. All right? Well, I'm nearly done. Just hang in there. So imagine being those people and having to live like that, and then Jesus says these words, Matthew 6:25-34. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. But they were having to. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Doesn't it take on a new impact when you begin to understand the culture, the setting, what's going on at that point in time? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So seek the kingdom of God above everything else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So Jesus was literally teaching us this. Give us this day our daily bread. Live one day at a time with God. Live in a moment by moment dependence upon God. So the secret to connecting with God and seeing prayers, answers, and need met is to live with him one day at a time. Do you see why a devotional life is so important? Coming before him every day, because we're meant to live with him one day at a time. And sometimes we get stressed and worried and anxious about the future, but Jesus teaches us to pray, Lord, just give me enough to make it through the next 24 hours. Now, if you're in a situation where you feel over your head and you're wondering, how's it going to play out? Suddenly the emphasis switches from like where you're just like you're worrying about the future. Suddenly the emphasis switches to, Lord, just help me get through today. And the promise of God is, I'll give you enough to get you through today. And you draw on that and God will supply that. So Corrie ten Boom says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. You know, I've heard it said before. I think you probably heard me said to before that, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. You know, and I think that that's true. It can dominate our thinking, but she said, don't let that stuff dominate your thinking. Just trust God in a day-by-day dependence, a moment-by-moment dependence. And we can actually, oh man, you can really get yourself tied up worrying and wasting a lot of energy worrying about tomorrow. And he just says, hey, I'll give you enough for today. And in verse 33, in some versions, different New Living Translation version, New Living Translation versions, that was a mouthful. And I'm just coming to the end. It says this: He will give you all you need from day to day. If, can you say if? Because that's a big word here. He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Do you know there is nothing you can do to make God love you more? And there is nothing you can do to make God love you less. That is entirely unconditional, non-negotiable. But the promises of God are conditional. They're there and they're available to us, but there are clauses in them, like here, because there is a promise from God. He's going to give you enough, all you need from day to day, but there is a condition: if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So actually, if I live for him, which is what it means to live righteously, as some versions say, just to live right with God, and he'll give me everything I need. The promise is this: if I make living right with God and just being right with him in my life, he's going to take care of all the other stuff I need. And man, doesn't that suddenly mean that when I come to pray, if I've got my focus right and I've got my priorities right, I can relax. Sometimes we're uptight, and I understand it because I'm uptight about stuff. Claire will tell you I get uptight about things. Oh, how's that going to play out? How's that going to work out? How's that going to play out? And God's just saying, oh, Jesus is saying, whoa, just get focused on him and relax. Because if your focus is on him, I'll take care of that stuff. It's a beautiful thing to think that he wants to take care of those things. If I make living for him and the kingdom of God my primary concern, he'll give me all I need from day to day. So he don't want us to doubt his care and concern for us. Em, do you want to just come back to the keyboard? Because we've been singing Our Father every week, and I just want to keep singing that. Singing the Lord's Prayer to close tonight. Jesus doesn't want us to doubt God's care and concern for us. And when you unpack those verses that I just read, actually what it teaches is that you're precious and you are valuable to him. So I'm safe. I'm safe. I can relax. I can be at ease. I say, yeah, I might have a list of needs in my life right now, but I'm safe. And I can relax and be at ease if I put him first, because he has promised he'll take care of me. And because he's a good father and a wonderful king, he's going to take care of that stuff in my life. He's going to work it out. He's going to bring that situation together because he knows what's best for me. He wouldn't say put me first if it wasn't best for you. He says if you put me first, I'll take care of it. It's best for us to focus on him. And you know, just in closing, you know, there comes a day when we don't need our everyday needs meeting anymore. You know, we don't need daily, you only need daily bread up until the day you die. And you don't need ordinary bread, if you like. That day one day comes that you no longer have a need for it, that physical, ordinary bread. But then Jesus says there's another kind of bread, a bread that you eat, and a bread that you eat and you live forever. And he says, our greatest need is for that bread. There's a bread that if we take it in, it gives us eternal life. And Jesus said, I am that bread. John 6, and this is the closing verse I'll read. Now he, that's God, offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. And Jesus replied, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Yes, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And anyone who eats this bread, anyone who takes Jesus into their life, allows him to come and live in their heart, will live forever. So wherever you are this evening, I just want you to be encouraged. God wants to take care of your needs. And if you're here this evening and you've never asked him into your heart and to live into your heart, then he's a bread, the bread that will give you eternal life. meet your deepest needs and your deepest longings. You'll live forever. One day you will see him face to face. Bread of eternal life. Lord, we just worship you this evening. I just want to thank you for your care and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.